PRN, Pause, Renew, Next, a podcast about soul care, scripture, and stories of faith. I'm Jenny Detweiler, and friends, this is our last episode of season 6. I'll be taking off the month of July, and then in August, Lord willing, we'll be kicking off season 7. And I cannot think of a better guest to be ending this season with than Jody Grubbs. Jody is an online friend of mine. We've been friends on Instagram for a few years now. She's a writer and a fellow podcaster, and I really believe a kindred spirit. She recently wrote a book called Live Slowly, A Gentle Invitation to Exhale. Now, you guys know that theme is right up our alley, isn't it? As we kick off summer vacation, this is the conversation we need to be paying attention to. How can we live our lives in such a way that honors the way that God made us at the pace at which we were meant to live? We live in a culture, online and in real life, that honors hustle and productivity. But is that the way that we're actually designed to live? I don't think so. I love Jody's book, and I loved this conversation, and I can't imagine a better way to kick off our summer vacation than this. So with that, let's jump into the conversation. Well, Jody, welcome to the podcast. Would you like to share a little bit about yourself with our listeners?
Sure, Jenny. Thank you for having me on, first of all. And I'm Jody Grubbs. I'm a slow living advocate, also a slow living guide and author. So I live outside of Raleigh, North Carolina, and I love having coffee dates with people and deep conversations. I was a former island child, and now I help women slow down and find a sustainable pace that's right for them.
Perfect. And I'm just going to say, I know that you didn't launch your book to go with my particular schedule, but I love that my last guest interview of this season is about slow living, as I think there are a lot of moms and women that listen to this podcast that really need a break. And so I'm hoping summer is a good time for them to begin to implement some of these slow living things that we're talking about together today. And the coffee date and deep conversations, me too. I told you before, I think we're kindred spirits. So
yes,
love it.
Yes, we shall have a coffee date one day.
We're both in North Carolina. We definitely should.
Yeah.
So in your book, you share a little bit about your growing up years. Can you talk a bit about that? I mean, it's very unique and special, and it impacts the things that you're writing about in this book.
Yes. And you know, it's funny, when you're a kid, you don't realize something is that special. It's just all you know, right? I was born on the island in 1972. I left in 1988. So my 16 years of formative, you know, living were on this small island in the Caribbean. It's called Bonaire. It's near Aruba. And everything that I learned about, I say I have slow living in my blood, but it came from the island. So not just how to pace myself, but also how to be in community and be present with others and just enjoy nature. I feel like everything was started there on the island for me. And so when I came to the U.S., then I took some of that with me. But as I grew older and married and had my daughter, I sort of forgot about that because I got wrapped up in this hustle culture that we find ourselves in and just running the roads, doing all the things. And my body was like, nope, that's too much. That's not who you really are. Mm-hmm. You can't keep this pace. And so I've had to go back to the island living way of finding a rhythm for my real everyday life. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I have heard you on previous podcasts, and you have your own podcast as well, talk about some of your growing up years. And it always sounds like a dream to me. I'm sure it probably does to you too in retrospect, but growing up on an island, that's just the most fun thing in the world. And so your dad was a missionary. Is that how you guys ended up there?
Yes. My parents worked for TWR, and they're the largest media organization in the world. And my dad did finance for them. So they moved there from Michigan. And a year later, I was born and grew up among the sea glass and the cactus and the waves and the flamingos. Yep.
That's so cool. So our theme this year on my podcast is Tell Your Story. And so we're looking at all different kinds of stories. But you write in your book about your own story, bits and pieces throughout the book. And it sounds like, well, there is one chapter that's named Sometimes Slowing Down is Chosen for You.
right?
So I wonder if you can talk a little bit about how life stopped you or made you start slowing down.
Yeah, well, Jenny, my health has always sort of spoken louder when I can't hear God's whisper to slow down. And so my body will tell me, and I've had several knee surgeries. I've had a knee replacement. I've had seasons where I just would go, 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 and I would end up getting pneumonia and strep and bronchitis and have to just be completely out for a while. So those are seasons that slowing down was chosen for me. Another time, which is ironic, it was during the hospital stay of my first husband, Brian. He was in a hospital for 9 months. And during that time, I got bit by a brown recluse spider and was forced to slow down for 3 days. So they knocked me out cold for 3 days. And when I came to, of course, I didn't know that had happened. I thought a few minutes had passed. And it was like God's way of just saying, you just need to literally rest, like not just slow down a little bit, but you need sleep for 3 days.
Uh-huh.
So yes. That's one of my big stories about it was just chosen for me. I didn't really have a say in it. And that's usually when we slow down because we don't want to slow down.
Yeah. You know, as a counselor, and even for myself right now, I sit with a lot of women and notice that we don't tend to stop because it feels like the needs around us are so great that we can't afford ourselves to be able to stop until our bodies get loud enough we can't really ignore them.
True. But
I really love the gift that you're writing about, noticing all these things and intentional choices we can make before we get to that place. But even sometimes when we can't, the Lord gives us an opportunity, kind of like he did with you, unfortunately, to do
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. We've all got our stories if we just stop and think about it. And I had to reframe it, you know, it's like, wait a minute, is this always suffering when that happens? Maybe it's just a chance for our bodies to rest and be rejuvenated. Yeah.
So speaking of intentional shifts, you have an acronym in your book that is SLOW, S-L-O-W. Yep. Would you share a little bit about those words with us and how they can help us intentionally change some of those patterns?
Yes. So when I think of SLOW, these four words came to me while I was in the beginning stages of writing this book. I love acronyms, but they have to be meaningful and yes. real. You know, they can't just be cute or fun. So it's kind of like these words chose themselves, but I found myself using the word shift a lot because we can't just be going, going, going and stop. If you do that on a bike, you'll go over the handlebars, you know? So it's the shifting, it's this sort of slow pivot over into a new way, sort of like the gears on a bike. And then secondly, L is for linger. And I write about that as a practice in my book. If we are just still and we just linger, we're just in it. So being just fully present to the situation. O is open hands. We don't have as much control as we think we do. And so if we have open hands to that day, what maybe God is planning for us that day that we didn't want to see or just were too busy to notice, or open hands to that shift that is gonna be happening or that we need to implement. And then the last one is W for watchful. The biggest thing is falling back into that hustle culture and mentality. So none of this matters if we're not watchful to not fall back into that trap.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. Oh, I love that so much. You had a quote, and I wish I could remember it now, about pace and like sticking to our own pace. And that hustle culture always makes us speed up, doesn't it? Like we start noticing the people that are running on either side or we're feeling this pressure. I feel like a lot through our phones.
Right.
And sometimes in real life with actual people of like picking these paces that are not meant for us and for our bodies and for what God's calling us to. So I love that acronym. S, shift. L, linger. O, open hands. W, watchful. Tell me for you, I didn't prep you for this, but under the watchful, what do you notice in yourself when you are beginning to shift back into hustle again?
I notice that I tend to do more people pleasing. And that can really put a spin on everything, because we forget, you know, that we're intentionally slowing down for our own bodies and our own souls and our own calendar. And so I have to really watch my yeses. Like, why was I saying yes again? What was the motivation behind that? Did I think if I didn't, I would be excluded from something big? Mm-hmm. Or was it out of guilt? Or is it because that's kind of what everybody was doing, and I forgot to just pause and, you know, and say, wait a minute, why was I doing that again? So I think just being cognizant of the W, the why.
Like, yeah. I really, really loved how you talked about the particular wiring that God has given you and how you've noticed how that affects the way that you interact with the world. So you said you're an Enneagram 9, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I'm a 2. And so my motivation is often for people pleasing as well. I don't know that it is for everybody, but for me and you and people that are wired like us, that is a big thing to watch out for. Like, what is our motivation in saying yes to this?
It really is. It can derail us for sure. So, yeah. And for me, I'm also a high introvert. Mm-hmm. And so I need time to renew that battery. Because I do like to have deep conversations instead of just surface talk. But I need to be rested and refreshed for that. I'm also HSP, which is a highly sensitive person. So if there's just too much noise or bright lights, or it could be external or internal, that can rattle me, where it just drains me faster than if I'm in a little bit more settled, quiet environment. So it's okay. That's how God made me, you know? And so since I've learned to embrace those things and stand up for myself, it's actually part of boundaries and empowering ourselves and others. It helps us slow down, because when we're not, we try and compensate, like, well, I'm just not like her, or I'm not able to do this, or, you know, not staying on our path that we've chosen. We're not able to slow down. We get faster and faster and faster until we fall.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I really love that so much. And I know that everybody who reads your book and everybody who listens to your podcast, to this podcast, is not wired exactly like you, and they're not wired exactly like me. But I think it's really important as we grow in ourselves and the Lord that we notice how God did make us, and the things that fuel our fire and the things that deplete us, and the ways that we interact as our best self, and how we can make space for that. So I just recently started hearing this HSP language in the last few years, but I love it. I think I definitely am that myself, like a very empathetic, in tune, like I pick up on everything, whether I want to or not.
Exactly.
Yeah. And my home life doesn't allow for that, because I have 4 boys that are very loud. So even being at home depletes me sometimes, even though I love them like crazy, you know?
Absolutely.
So even in that, I have to make space for how can I renew myself? You know, like how can I get a little bit of peace and quiet so that I am not flipping my own lid, or so that I do have space for people who need me, and so that I can hear the Lord's voice and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. And, you know, it's interesting is 1 in 5 people is HSP. So 20% of us are. Mm-hmm. So I hope this does help somebody listening say, oh, maybe it's okay that I'm that way.
Yeah.
And then you need to, you know, go find quiet time for yourself to replenish. And even my friends who are extroverts, they also need their sleep and some quiet time, because they have to refuel to go do all those things again the next day.
Well, I am an extrovert, so I can speak to that. I get energy from being with people, but it has to be the right kind of interactions with people. Right. Some of them do deplete me. Every interaction is not the same.
That is true.
But I attest to that. That's true. I didn't plan to go into this, but will you talk a little bit about what an HSP is?
Sure. So I was introduced to this, I think back in maybe 2018. So a highly sensitive person, a really good book if you want to read up on it is by Elaine Aron. And she writes about the highly sensitive person. It's just this idea that there are people who are born with, I'm not sure all the science behind it. I just know, like, for me, I've known this about myself since I was 3 years old. So I explained it to my parents and they're like, oh yeah, okay. You know, all right. We understand you better. Like, yes, that's true. But you're just, you go about the world in a different way. So you're in tune to everything around you. It's like, you can't turn it off.
Yes.
And it seems louder. So if there's a smell that I run across, some people might just kind of scrunch their nose, but for me, it's like almost right in my face, you know?
Yes.
Or someone else might say, oh, that was loud. But to me, it's so loud that I can't even hardly hear them say, wow, that was loud, you know?
Yes.
So everything is just turned up a notch is the layman's way of explaining a highly sensitive person. There are other things that might be unique. Like some people might not like how something feels on them, you know, other people that doesn't matter. Some of it can be emotional, you know, you can be more sensitive to things, whether it's comments from people or you can read the room. You can walk in and say, oh, wow, that person's having a really hard time and that person's being a jerk and what, you know, you can just see everything. So
you catch all the vibes, so to speak.
You catch all the vibes. Exactly.
I think it's a superpower in a way, but it is also very draining.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is. It's written as a superpower and draining. It's the both and, you know. Yeah.
So back to slow living. You talk about, you know, I've talked on this podcast and in my blogs a little bit about finding safe places with people, but actually like physical places too that we can go, either in our mind or in a physical proximity to a place that makes us feel safe. And you talk about that, but you use a different word that I really love. You say the word sanctuary comes to us through French from Latin and blends the meanings of a safe place and a holy place, a place where God meets with us in the stillness. Ooh, I love it so much. Can you talk about your own sanctuaries and how this helps with soul care for you?
Absolutely. So some of the places that are my own sanctuaries, like you mentioned before, it can be somewhere in your own home. You might have an old chair in your bedroom that you just have by a window, and it's just like you just feel safe there and quiet and secure. Or it might be in your mind. Like for me, sometimes if I've had an MRI or some medical procedure, I've just had to kind of go there in my mind. I've gone back to the island on a yellow raft I used to, you know, lay on in the sun that was anchored out in the sand. And that was just my quiet time with God. Other times, you have to find it in your day if your day is so crazy and busy. For instance, I was in New York City last summer with my daughter, and we stepped into a cathedral. Well, I was in there for 20 minutes, and that was like this little soul care sanctuary. Shouldn't say little. It was humongous. But, you know, just imagine how quiet it was in there compared to out on the street. So I just encourage people to find their own place. A lot of people tell me it's on their front porch or their back porch. Yeah.
You know, I have a sunroom that I really love. I always thought I'd spend a lot of time there, and I don't, because it's kind of like not that comfy. Like the couch is not that comfy, but I like it out there, but I just don't go out there that much. So in my mind, I picture myself out there, but in reality, I have a seat right by the window that I go to in the morning where I can watch the hummingbirds come and go. And it's like, even if I'm not trying to, and I talk to God, I notice that my face always faces out the window. There's something about it. It's like I'm talking to him and I'm automatically looking out at nature.
Oh, wow.
And so I think of that as kind of my sanctuary, like for in the morning, in the evening, when I need like a reset, I find myself going there. Mm-hmm. I love that.
That's beautiful. Yeah. Lately, I've been out on the back patio, and three times now we've seen deer. And so that just is a little odd sometimes to be living in suburbia, but you know, there's just pockets of woods everywhere. And so that's been really special. Yeah.
There is something about nature. I mean, it's, yeah. I recently heard, I wish I remembered the exact quote, but something like, if you want to hear from God, the first language is scripture and the second one is nature, be in his creation. And I really think there's something to that.
Mm-hmm. That's beautiful. Yeah.
Okay. You also talk in your book about barefoot hospitality. Can you explain what that is and how that helps us be present with other people?
Sure. So I used to go barefoot an awful lot as an island kid, not to school or to church, but most of the other time I was barefoot. And so my parents were very hospitable. We had people over all the time. And so I guess I just sort of combined those two words thinking, well, what if we're just ourselves with God and with others? And when we extend to others this idea of barefoot hospitality, it's a come as you are.
Yeah.
You know, feel the ground, be grounded here. You don't always have to walk on the grass to be grounded like you are physically.
Yeah.
But then what if we can copy that for the people in our life and have them feel emotionally grounded with us? And so that's sort of where that idea came from. I don't know if it would have come to me as much if I had lived here in the U.S. through four seasons. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I love it because it really does convey that point, I think. And I think being barefoot is the mark of a really great childhood. So,
yes.
Especially if you live on an island, that sounds even better. But
it is. Yeah.
But that basically means like you don't have to dress up. You don't have to be prepared in a way. Like, I love the come as you are. And you talk in your book about being with safe people and being open-handed kind of with people, but safe people. It has to be safe
right.
people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And how that changes relationships, being able to hear people's stories.
Yeah. That is all part of barefoot hospitality is just this vulnerability. So when we're barefoot, we don't have that shoe that is hiding our foot. Mm-hmm. It's protecting our foot, but there's a difference between hiding and protection. So when you are around safe people, you're able to be barefoot. You're able to be more fancy-free, carefree, show who you really are and accepted, and hopefully, provide that for others who are in your midst as well. Yeah. Which means a lot of intentional slowing down to really hear and see each other.
Yes. Yes. And speaking of that, my podcast is a lot about soul care. And I think you and I, as I've watched you over the years, because we've been Instagram friends a few years now, have a lot in common when it comes to that stuff. And so I love to ask my guests about their own soul care practices. Your whole book is a soul care practice, but I want to ask you specifically, like, as you have had to launch a book, because that is an endeavor. I know you're at the other end of it now, so right. you're like on the downhill slope. But what has it been like to practice your own soul care and do all this slow living stuff in the midst of launching a book? What are some of the practices that have helped you?
Yes. So one of the biggest ones has been acceptance. It's one that I write about in the book, but just, we like to think we have everything planned out, right? Whether it's emotionally or physically or whatever. And, usually we have bumps in the road, and so that's an understatement, but acceptance is a big part of slowing down, just to say, okay, God, I trust that I'm held by you through this season. Sometimes the ordinariness is hard. Other times it's the busyness that's hard. It can be both, really. Mm-hmm. Something exciting can be a lot for us, just like something sad can be a lot for us. So just accepting the season that I'm in has been a really good one. The other one is presence, just being present. I've had to just slow down to enjoy the parts of this book launch. It is a crazy season, but it's not all bad crazy. It's special. This is 6 years in the making. So, taking time when someone sends me a message saying what a certain chapter meant to them, or just being there to have coffee with a friend and just talk about some of the fun things and the hard things about the book launch. So those are two.
I love that. Yeah. I love that. Being present is hard. it's really hard, especially when you have a lot on your to-do list and messages coming in, but I hear that there's like gratitude for the pieces as they're showing up and taking time to be present with them. I love that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I know that you're a writer in your heart. I just wonder what it's been like to be able to actually publish your work. Has it been the fulfillment of a dream in a way?
Yeah, it really has. It's been so, so special. When I signed with IVP, University Press, they're just such an amazing publishing house. And so they caught the idea for this book super fast. And I have just enjoyed the whole process. And then to see, you know, the book out in the world and on bookshelves, or having people send me a picture, they're reading it at the beach. It's just been surreal, actually. It's like, this is like my life's work. You know, I talk in the book all the way from childhood, from birth, all the way till just up until my last edits. And so it's really what I hope will be an evergreen book for people to just pick up whenever. If someone finds this book in 4 years, I hope it influences them as much as someone who reads it this weekend. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I love that. And I didn't say this at the very beginning, but the second part, I mean, it's called Live Slowly, but the second part is A Gentle Invitation to Exhale. And I personally have needed that. Like, see, there's the inhale. Let me do the exhale. We all need that collectively. We need it. And your book is that. And so I just really appreciate your words and your work. And I hope listeners that you'll go out, friends, that you'll go out and get this book and read it. If you need an invitation this summer to do your own slow living work. And there are some really great tools in there too, that you put in there that I thought were really helpful.
Thanks.
If people want to find your book, Jody, where can they get it?
So Amazon is the easiest place to get it. Especially if you have Prime. If you don't, it can be anywhere, Barnes and Noble, Target.com. You can order it from your favorite bookstore. You can just go in and ask them to order it for you, or IVP.com. Yep.
And they can find you on Instagram, and where are all the places?
Yeah. So mostly I'm on Instagram. I'll be taking a sabbatical this summer, like a lot of people, but then also JodyGrubbs.com is my website, where you can pretty much find anything that you're looking for there.
Very cool. And you have had a podcast. I don't know if it's going to come back or not, but there are plenty of really great episodes. So if people love you and they want to go listen, do you want to tell them the name of your podcast?
Sure. The podcast is called Our Island in the City. And we started in January of 2020. There's 3 years of episodes on there. Took a year sabbatical and not sure. Have some ideas for what's next. Yeah.
Sounds good. Well, it has been a joy to have you on the podcast. Thank you for coming.
Thank you for having me, Jenny. This was really special.
Well, thanks again, Jody, for being on today's podcast episode. I really loved getting to chat with you, and I hope we do meet up for a coffee date sometime soon. Friends, if you enjoyed this conversation, you can listen to Jody a whole lot more. Go check out her podcast, Our Island in the City. She's had some amazing guests, and her podcast really complements the things we talk about on this podcast as well. I also encourage you to go out and get her book, Live Slowly, A Gentle Invitation to Exhale. I will link to her website, her podcast, and her book on today's show notes as well. Well, friends, this is the last episode of season 6. Our theme was Tell Your Story. I hope that you enjoyed it. I have really enjoyed the guests I've gotten to talk to, the books I've gotten to read, as well as some of the reflections that we've had together. Lord willing, I'll be back in August, starting season 7. And now as we go about our summer vacations, I hope for you, as well as for me, that we can put into practice some of the things that we talked about in today's conversation, that we can honor the way that we are made, the pace at which we're designed to live, and so be better present for ourselves, for the Lord, and the people in our lives. And on that note, I want to leave you with a benediction that can be found at the end of Jody's book. As your day ebbs and flows, may you rest in the fact that your life is not an assembly line. While the world around you grinds and screeches, may you linger in the smooth, quieter rhythms that give you life. As you hold and ponder your own difficult and joyful obligations, may you give yourself time and space to process it all. As you look within, as you look around,
And as you look up, may a slower, more deliberate pace cause you to be kinder and more fully present to yourself and others. I'm Jenny Detweiler with PRN. Pause, renew, next. May you be encouraged on your journey with Jesus.